This morning's scripture readings prefigure for us in a very beautiful and profound way the great and terrible mystery that we will celebrate next week, the death and resurrection of Christ. Today's gospel seems to have a striking incongruity in it when you first look at it, because this group of Greeks want to see Jesus, and they come to Philip, and Philip goes to Andrew, and the two of them go to Jesus and say, "These people want to see you." But he doesn't say, "I will see them," and he doesn't say, "I won't see them." He starts talking about seeds, which doesn't seem to connect at all. But he says that a seed must be completely annihilated. A seed must fall into the ground and die to itself if it wishes to produce life. And of course, he's using that as a beautiful image from nature to articulate the mystery of his own death. That like the seed, he will be annihilated. Like the seed, he will be buried in the dark ground of human suffering and the result of sin, which is death. And from that will arise new life. So it's as if to say, "Do you really want to see me? Do you really want to encounter me? Then you must come to the cross, because it's in the mystery of the cross that you will come to discover who Christ truly is." When I was a little kid, I remember planting a bunch of seeds in the backyard, and I think I planted them too deep because they didn't come up. And I got really frustrated, so one day I took down the little fence that I had put around it, and I kicked the dirt and was trying to punish the seeds for not coming up. What actually happened is they sprouted after that, because I think kicking them and rooting them around actually brought them closer to the surface where they were able to sprout. But we see even in the seasons of nature that whole death to life mystery. And we see in Jesus that same mystery of surrendering himself unto the terrible consequences of our sin, which is death and alienation from God. And when Christ had plumbed the absolute depths of our darkness, it was at that moment that he was glorified and raised up, and we are raised up with him. And that's the great mystery that we celebrate next week. I find it astonishing because next week millions and millions of Christians throughout the world are going to stop their daily routine, and they're going to pause, and they're going to pray over, meditate, and glorify God for the gift of salvation offered through Christ. And next week it will not be his miracles that we honor. It will not be his amazing preaching that we thank God for. In a sense, it will be his human defeat. It will be that moment when he was deserted by everyone except his mother, his mother's friends, and St. John. It will be that moment when he was stripped of his glory, seemingly bereft of his divine power, that we honor. Because it's in the mystery of Christ's death that we see the glory of God made manifest for us. And we see the power of God at work in the world. The seed must be completely annihilated so that new life can come forth. That's a great promise of hope for us, because when we look at our lives, at least when I look at my life, I often assume my life should be pretty easy with a few bad stretches of rough road, but for the most part it should be easy. Things should go my way. But whoever promised us that? The cross reminds us that rather we should be seeking out our suffering. We should be seeking out our weakness as the places where God encounters us most profoundly. That it's not in our strength, it's not in our self-sufficiency, it's not in our greatness that God finds us. But it's precisely in those broken and wounded places. It's precisely in our sin that the Savior is drawn to us like filings to a magnet. That's tremendously good news for us, because it means that we don't have to be perfect. We don't have to have it all put together. We don't have to have all the answers. But it's precisely in our brokenness and our vulnerability that God loves us, that God finds us, and that God saves us. And it's that unconditional love for us as sinners that transforms us and strengthens us to become saints. We pray for the grace then to surrender to the Lord all of the suffering in our life, all of the sin in our life, all those places where we have felt defeated and crushed and overwhelmed. And when you think about it, life really tries to break us down and annihilate us. And the good news is that's okay, because it's when we feel crushed and thrust into the ground like that annihilated seed that the Lord brings new life for us. As we enter into Holy Week then, we ask God to fill us with a deeper understanding of that Paschal mystery. To understand that when we offer our prayers and supplications and loud cries and tears to God, as the second reading says Jesus did, we are heard. There's someone listening. It's the merciful Father with a heart which loves us beyond our capacity to understand. The first reading speaks of this great new covenant that God will establish with his people. And we know that it's the covenant established in the blood of Christ, and that's unbreakable. There's nothing we can do to stop God from loving us. His stance towards us forever will be one of unconditional love. And whether we sin against him, whether we run to him, whether we run away from him, he simply stands there as radiant as the rising sun in the east, ready to love us, waiting to forgive us, asking to transform us. May this Holy Week be for us a time of transformation, where we can honestly examine all those dark and wounded places in our lives, allow the Lord to annihilate us in a sense, that in that sense of suffering and darkness and even sin, the Lord triumphs and raises us up. It's the great and terrible mystery that we call the Paschal mystery. It's what we celebrate in Holy Week. It's in the rhythms of nature. It's in the rhythms of life. It's the meaning of our existence. So every time we suffer, every time we die to self and rise again, is it not a dress rehearsal for that final moment of surrender that we call death? When we fall into the abyss, not the abyss of darkness, but the abyss of the Father's heart. The only way to the resurrection is the cross. And it's only through suffering then that we climb that ladder and find ultimately the glory of Christ's resurrection. We praise God for his deep, abiding, infinite, unconditional love for us, poured out through the death and resurrection of Christ. When God looked deader than dead, when Jesus was at his weakest, was his most glorious moment. Do we have the faith to believe that that's also true for us? When we feel the weakest, the darkest, the most broken, it's at that moment that God's glory is ready to rush in and transform us and fill us and love us. For that we give praise and thanks.